Yeah. Years later, my mom and dad got a divorce, and you know, I remember the little boy. When I last saw him, it had to be the time when he got a divorce. I probably was 11, and I remember just crying and yelling because I wanted to go with him. And by him being in the Navy all the time, he was going anyway a lot of times. So it was my mom there. But this particular night, he was getting in the car to leave, and I'm yelling and kicking and screaming. I wanted to go along with him, and of course that did not happen. When I had an opportunity when I was about 13, go visit him, and we were driving from, I want to say, South Carolina to Augusta, and that is the first time I ever seen a riot. And we were driving through it. And he was saying to me, this is what happens when people disagree.
In the mid-20th century, the United States underwent tumultuous societal changes, which still resonate today. Once in-demand districts in the 1950s and 60s are now blighted regions. In Pensacola, Florida, the Brownsville area is an example of this. What once was a growing middle-class suburb is now a pocket of some of the highest poverty and lowest education scores in the state. To combat this, the nonprofit organization Achieve Escambia launched the 32505 Project, designed to research the history of the Brownsville area and uncover the roots of these issues. As part of this project, this oral interview with Ellison Bennett, a local activist and former president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in Pensacola, was conducted on February 26, 2020. He grew up in the Warrington area of Pensacola, which neighbors the Naval Air Station and Brownsville in the 1950s and 60s. In looking at Bennett's and other community members' stories, we can see a potential cure for these areas' ills. Rebuilding a sense of community, respect, and cooperation within Brownsville's members, leaders, and the city will help these areas regrow into something new.
NAS. Everybody I knew, I mean, people much older than I was, worked at NAS. I worked at NAS. My brother worked at NAS. My mother was a mail carrier at NAS. My father was in the Navy stationed at NAS. There has always been the Navy and the Warrington area. Yeah, a lot of my upbringing was right there. And at the 4th of July picnic every year, they used to have a picnic for all of the Navy dependents. They don't do that no more. And they had train rides and pony rides. I mean, hot dogs were probably 15, 20 cents or whatever. Sodas was 5 cents. But can you imagine all of military families coming together for this one big picnic? And that's what we look forward to every year.
Warrington and Brownsville were uniquely tied to the Naval Station in Pensacola. Military and civilian personnel benefited in the form of housing preferences and job security. But one essential boon was the base's ability to create a community and empower individuals. A Pensacola News Journal article from June 30th, 1966, advertises one of these 4th of July celebrations that Bennett recalls. It reported that a traditional picnic at the station's Broncos area, along with a band concert and fireworks, were to be the main events for military and civilian families to enjoy. No mention is made of the celebration being exclusive to race, but race was still a factor at this time. In September 18, 1960, the News Journal reported that the Colored Civilian Corps from NAS Pensacola held a picnic at Wingate Beach. Its members enjoyed themselves despite some beach facilities being closed. No other mentions of the Colored Civilian Corps could be found at this time, but it shows that Black civilian workers at NAS were numerous, as Bennett recalls, yet were separate from the white cohorts. Experiences between Black and white workers were also distinct.
Not my dad. My mother, in her own way, by working as a letter carrier on NAS, she wasn't given a vehicle, so she had a bike that she used to ride around. And most people would have said, well, I quit, I'm not gonna do this. But in her own way, she said, well, I'm not gonna give up. I'm gonna still provide a way for my children, and that's what she did. And I think people in their own way respected her for doing that. My dad was from Brooklyn, New York, and his mother was from Augusta, Georgia. So their outlook on life was very differently. They was not gonna deal with the racism. If you got in his face, he's going to give it right back to you. And my mother was more of a compassionate person.
Julia Bennett worked at a federal facility, yet was not given the adequate means to complete her work. Still, she pushed forward for her family and made it clear that she was not going to roll over. Research into black women workers who entered industries during World War II shows similar resolve. In Lionel Kimball's I Too Serve America, the experiences of black Chicago wartime industry women revealed that black women were willing and able to challenge existing racial barriers through protest, labor demands, and the court systems. Black women in Chicago faced a lack of access to job facilities such as restrooms or break rooms and adequate housing. Instead of giving up, they stood up and fought for their right to use these rooms and own these homes. Julia Bennett's story is more personal. Julia provided rather than fought, yet made it known she would not be bullied out of her job. She stood strong for herself and her family. Both her story and the story of Chicago's women shows an important aspect to any community, being the change you want to see. Outside of work, Julia did not stand alone. In times of need, a thriving community will come together to provide for each other.
My mother went grocery shopping one Saturday, and I think she went in to call a taxi, and when she came back outside, somebody had stole all her groceries. And my mother was crying, and what am I going to do now about feeding my children? I hated to see that. You know, we didn't miss anything because the community came together and provided. On Winthrop, I think that's the name of the street, there was the Warrington Baptist, big church, which is now part of Olive Baptist. And that's where all the white people went. Well, during vacation Bible school, there was this elderly white lady named Miss Sandy. That's all I remember her name. I don't remember her first name. She used to come and spend time over at First Baptist Church teaching us about Christ. And everyone just loved this lady. So as I said, there was a lot of good going on, even in what some people would call bad times. There was a lot of good going on.
From picnics to church to sports, Warrington's community members stood by one another. The sense of cohesion seen in the articles about picnics and in Bennett's own words reflects another important aspect of any community, facing struggles together. The Warrington community provided for Bennett's family in times of need, and members overcame racial tensions over their shared religion, and this support also extended to child rearing.
Now as the community evolved to where it is now, you got a lot of young guys that's doing drive-by shootings and all of this nonsense, breaking in on people. We just didn't have that because you knew the person in your neighborhood and your parent know that parent. And then that parent knew the grandmother or somebody of that young person. So you hold them accountable. If you did something wrong, you were gonna get it. I'm serious. I mean, it was, I remember the old teachers at Judy Andrews Elementary School, you know. You didn't go there and you act out in school because, you know, you were gonna get it at school, but when you got home, you really was gonna catch it. So you wanted to go there and do the best you could.
In the mid-20th century, Warrington was a very close-knit community. These social bonds reinforced accepted behaviors and fostered a sense of respect, which is seen as lacking in the present. As these areas changed with time, so too did the people that helped to create these bonds. The decade saw children move away, and new families and businesses with less ties to the area move in as Pensacola grew. This lack of a support base hinders parents who struggle to provide for their families, children who long for adventures outside of their small worlds, and the community itself, as neighbors see each other as strangers rather than friends. But West Pensacola has seen numerous efforts to try and rebuild the sense of community. From the 1990s through today, various community, religious, and business leaders have done their part to invest in the area. A historical survey of Brownsville conducted in 2003 discovered that the Brownsville Revitalization Committee planned to revive the old business corridor on Cervantes Street and open a new community center to offer better access to commuters, job counseling, and GED classes. More recently, Achieve Escambia's 2018 community report card saw kindergarten readiness in children increase 10%, financial aid access increase in public schools, and 210 more volunteers join as partners. Today, Brownsville and Warrington face numerous challenges in terms of housing, health, and schooling, but community members are stepping up to face them. It will take more than programs. It will take residents standing as examples for each other and sitting next to one another despite the disagreements. It happened long ago, and it looks to be happening again.
I've seen through the years Brownsville growing, a lot of good things there. Certainly one of them is Friendship Baptist Church. Brownsville Assembly is there. There's a newfound church called Love Nation, I think, that opened there. I think the reason why it is developing now is because people have realized if you do not invest in your community, it will fade away. You have to be concerned with your streets, your housing, your people itself. So it brought joy to my heart when I can go by the Brownsville Community Center and see children at the Brownsville Center there out playing and just enjoying life as a child. It's just a way of reinvesting in the community. So kudos to those people who had insight enough to develop the Brownsville Community Center.